And welcome back, rugby fans. Guess what? It's Thursday night, Friday if you're watching on TRN. But we're back. It's a rant episode. Ty's not here. You got the big guy, Scott Ferrara, hosting. I know Rob loves it because I can't win.
And you look hot. I'm just saying.
Thanks. I'm dying right now. It's like 98 degrees, not, you know, Nick Lachey style up in New York here right now. 100% humidity. You guys know how I do. But yeah, Rob's happy. I'm not actually part of the rugby rant this time. So that means I can't win. So Rob can try and build up and catch me at some point. But anyway, I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. And with us, we have two guest ranters. The first guy, you know him as Brissett the Jet, Derek Brissett from the Rouge Rugby Podcast. Derek, how you doing?
Oh, man, doing pretty good. I mean, aside from the game that we're about to talk about, I've been doing pretty good. It was a pretty good weekend. But, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't bring any advanced scientific polls to you guys this week, though. So, you know, I'm glad Doug got that covered last week, but I don't got any of the scientific research for you.
I was going to ask you, you know, did Nielsen do those with ABC News? Who is running your
Exactly. All of them, actually. But the Canadian ones, not ABC and stuff.
Oh man, I love Derek and I love our buddy Doug when he comes on. The Canadian contingent of our ranters and fans are one of the best. And we also have a new ranter, guys. Alex Carlson, super OGD super fan, rugby coach for hire. He's involved in the youth program in Virginia, and he's also an Old Breed guy. Which, if you guys know, our buddy Mike Perizzini is also an Old Breed breed player. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it. Huge fan. I sit among giants tonight, and with Mike Perizzini being on here before this, the grand poobah, like, I know tonight, like, the chats are going to be going back and forth because the boss man's here tonight. They're like, we're going to up the ante on the Old Breed, chat later on. So thanks a lot, guys, for having me.
I love it. I love shit talking. You guys know this. And for those viewers who have not watched our show before, this is the Rugby Rant. We give each of our ranters 2 minutes to rant about a topic. And generally, we have the audience pick it. This week, these two topics were kind of natural to us. And if you go past your 2 minutes or you kind of, you know, there's some foul play deemed by me, the referee. Do you know what you get, Rob?
I think it's called the cheese.
The cheese, baby. You get that first yellow card. In the second round, if you get a second yellow card, obviously that's a red card infringement. You are done. We take you off the screen. If you get the red card up, exactly. If you get a red card up front, I don't know if you'll be asked back. Luckily, none of our guys have ever gotten a red card up front, although maybe I should have gotten a red card every so often. I know Rob is a proponent of working the referee when I'm a ranter. Anyway, before we hit
the referee.
Yeah.
My word. Oh my goodness!
I mean,
I'm surprised you didn't play scrum half in your younger days. By the way, you try to work the ref, you know, asking for leniency before you commit an infraction.
I'm smart, Rob.
Sir, can I punch this guy across from me? He's really giving me the business at the back of the scrum.
Well, it's unlike Paul Mullen, who just slaps and then asks. I ask for forgiveness and then slap. I've learned from the best. I've seen Paul Mullen do it. I know you got to do it the other way. Anyway, let's talk about canibrands.com. You know, help us keep the lights on. Visit canibrands.com. They have four sectors of CBD products. They have the Can I Sleep, the Can I Boost, the Can I Mend, and the Can I Fresh. Now, you know, what I like the Can I Fresh and the Can I Mend. I really use those top products. The Can I Mend Bulb, I can't tell you, I can't tell you more about it. You know, I'm on my feet a lot, flat feet, flat shoes, wearing my dress shoes, going to work. You know, after, you know, Friday, I put in 50 to 60 hours working. My feet are freaking killing me. I come home, I put on that Can I Mend Bomb. And honestly, I wake up the next morning and my feet are like, man, let's go. Let's get ready to hit another day. And the other thing I really love is the Can I Sleep. And it comes in these little canisters here. And just 8 sprays of these in your mouth gets you right to sleep. You know, I've talked about it week in and week out. You know, we do this show. Sometimes I'm up till, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning doing the show, depending on, you know, the guests and people we have. And it's tough. You know, I'm amped up from doing the show. I had been up since 5, you know, the previous morning. So I need some help going to sleep. And Can I Sleep is something that I really use, and it really does help me out. THC free, which is important to me. You know, this country is going through a huge opioid epidemic, and we really need things like CBD that don't have those chemicals that you can't get chemically dependent on to help you. So if you go to canibrands.com and use the code RANT25, you'll get 25% off your entire order. I'm talking, if you order $1,000, you're getting $250 off. If you're ordering, you know, $100, you're getting 25 off. Use the code RANT25 for 25% off your entire purchase. And if you spend more than $49, it's shipped free within the continental United States. So guys, go check out Can I Brands. Use the code RANT25 for 25% off your entire purchase. Now, let's get to the first topic at hand. Like I said before, we kind of had some two topics naturally come up. This first topic, man, I don't know what our Rugby Canada contingent is going to say, but we're talking about the second leg of the Rugby World qualifying match between the Eagles and Canada. That final score was Eagles 38, Canada 16, and I believe the aggregate was 59-50. USA moving on to play Uruguay to see who's going to be America's number one. Rugby Canada going to play Chile to see if they can bounce back if they win. Whoever loses the USAR-Uruguay match plays the winner of the Chile Rugby Canada match. So we're going to see what you guys thought about this match, and we're going to start with Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. Rob, your 2 minutes starts now.
Yeah, I think everything that the United States didn't do well in Canada, they did well this game, right? And it starts with the set piece. Their scrums were solid from start to finish. Their lineouts were awesome. I think they only lost one of their own lineouts. And on the opposite end of that, Canada, I think, lost three or four lineouts in the 15-meter attacking part of the field. You know, that's really tough to score points and stay in the game when you're losing possession in the green zone. And, of course, they used the lineout to set up the rolling maul. Hanco, what an absolute freaking beast. I know Scott was sporting wood the whole match because Hanco was just on fire scoring three tries, two of them off the back of a maul. Really nice to see. What I really like to see, and I said it on the back of the last match, I wanted to see them control possession of the ball and go through the phases. And I really think in the second half they did that very, very well, especially the rug support. You know, Rumball was freaking killing him in the first half and really keeping it close, almost all by himself, just spoiling possession. And I really think they did a better job getting to the rucks, getting over the rucks, clearing the rucks out, and getting quick, lightning fast ball out of the rucks. I thought Ruben did those things well, much better than he did the last time. I was really disappointed with Fanaa Schultz. Sorry to our guy Alex there. There's no excuse for the two yellow cards. Those things are just not smart play. You know you can't lift and dump. You know you can't jump over them all. You got to clean those things up. In tighter matches, those penalties will be costly. And so he's got to clean those up. Overall, though, I thought that I'll leave some other meat on the bone for the two other gentlemen set to talk about this game.
So somebody should play the lotto tonight because Rob came in like 10 seconds under his time, which never happens. He's usually, right past it. You know, it's almost like a teenager in a car. They see the stop sign too late and they just slam on the brakes.
It's a teacher. We like to talk. You know what I'm saying?
But
New Yorkers.
What are you trying to say, bro? What are you trying to say?
You know what I'm saying. I'm saying you talk way too much too, except you ask for forgiveness instead of,
Because I'm smart. It's just we're New Yorkers are smarter and we talk a lot. Anyway, let's go back to some of your points there. You're right. They seem to get the line out straightened out on their end, and they're poaching a lot of the balls in the line out. Nick Civetta and Nate Brickley, yeah, both of them had a bunch of poaches on the line outs and coming down to do their own mauls and give it to Hanco. I mean, it's kind of natural. It's the offense Rooney runs as well. So having those guys running that same type of offense, to get the rolling maul, Fanaa Schultz, same thing. He's on that OGDC team that runs that rolling maul off the lineout. So there's a lot of MLL crossover just on that particular play. So you see why USA Eagles like to do it and the success in them doing it. Obviously, Hanco getting the hat trick. But you're right. I think Ruben Nahas was kicking darts. He definitely stepped up his play from the previous matches. And I don't know if that was just knowing that, he had AJ McGinty at 10 to be a little more dynamic than Will McGee, or, he just got right. Sometimes I feel like the Haas's travel kind of screws him up a little bit, and he has to cycle through that a little slower than other people. But let me, like you said, let me keep some meat on the bone there. Let's talk to our Rugby Canada contingent. Derek, your 2 minutes starts now, bro.
Well, I think I can just start by echoing the same thing that Rob said. It's like everything that Canada did well in the previous game did not happen in this game. So it's pretty much the exact opposite there. I think, Rob, you mentioned the missed lineouts. The lineout in the second half, regardless of where it was on the field, you mentioned the fifth within 15 meters. Wherever it was on the field, it was atrocious. It was terrible. I think, too, like there was just, you know, they never had the ball. And when they did, they just box kicked it away. There wasn't any real like attack. There was no real attacking pressure at all. It felt like every time, you know, you mentioned Lucas Rumble was killing it in the first half, and all those turnovers, they just kind of amounted to nothing. But you know, anytime they seemed to get possession during the game, whether it was like because the USA kicked it to them or however they got it, it was just a box kick straight back almost immediately on the first phase. To me, I think, you know, I think that was kind of the combination of the three things that are the most frustrating about this game was, this, as Lucas Rumble said in his post-match interview, just the constant individual errors, knock-ons, bad passes, guys offside, things like that. The lineouts, and then just complete lack of any meaningful possession at any point in the game. I think the most frustrating part of the game was the Ruben de Haas try. Rob, that was the one lineout that the USA did lose that started that play. Savetta dropped the ball and it landed on the Canadian side for Thomas to pick up. Rumble had a good run, about 15 meters or so. The first phase, Brody comes to the ruck, box kicks it up. It's the best kick chase Canada got all game. Coates grabs it, puts it down, and Brody just box kicks it right away again. And Ruben de Haas has to be thinking, it's like, oh, they're going to box kick because this is all they've been doing this whole game. So he jumps on it, right? And I don't know, just overall kind of a bit of a frustrating night, especially considering how well the St. John's match went.
Yeah, no, listen, I know it's frustrating, and talking to our buddy and your buddy Doug Wilkie about it, you know, I'm lucky enough to talk to Doug about these matches and get a Canadian perspective, like, as it's happening. And you're right, he was just very sad about individual effort. And, you know, that's the game of rugby, unfortunately. I think you're right. One of the things Canada didn't do that they were doing in the St. John's game was great counterattacks off Ruben de Haas's box kicks, going up, getting it, getting like 10 meters and then setting up their own play and not necessarily box kicking it right away. You know, maybe they were setting up for something or they'd run it with the forwards. You know, they were a little more dynamic in their play choice. I don't know what changed, you know, obviously not being in the locker room, but you know, I think you summed it up perfectly with the Haas's try, where they were box kicking so much that they telegraphed it, especially on that particular one. Cause I guess, you know, he just didn't think he had enough support to get it down. And, you know, and Haas charges it down and scores an amazing try. So yeah, you know, it's disappointing, but you know, like I said previously, Rugby Canada has a chance. So they just got to, you know, do their business against Chile and then keep it up against whoever their next opponent is. But yeah, great points. I love it. You know, it's very good dissection of what's going on a really good Rugby Canada team that just didn't produce. So now we're moving on to the last but not least, this ranter, our buddy, our OG DC superfan, Alex Carlson, your 2 minutes starts now.
No pressure. So first off, you know, the obligatory hats off to Chicken and Jamma for making the lineup. That's from all the OG fans. We love those guys. And, you know, I think, you know, we were talking about some of the different chats that are out there. And, you know, I don't think there's anybody more disappointed in the penalties than Jamma. And I completely agree with Rob, the fact that, like, that discipline is going to be key, you know. But we got through, you know, step for the Eagles, they got through step A, which is winning the match on Saturday, right? We can't get to B. We can't worry about what's going to happen next. And hats off to the Eagles for pulling out, because Gary Gold got filleted. You know, I'm sure you guys follow a whole heck of a lot more chats than I do, and he was getting filleted because everyone seemed like it was the same old spiel on the internet. You know, hey, we got to try better, take it one day at a time, your classic sports cliches. And, you know, you guys mentioned Hanko was on fire. I thought Christian Dyer was hot as well. Joe Taifete in that front row, Taifete showing his versatility, being able to move over and play prop. I thought that was huge. And I think the biggest part of it was they knew that their backs were against the wall, and they rose to that level. And I think a big part of that, and being a forward, I can't believe I'm going to do this. I'm going to get filleted over this by my brothers in the pack. But I thought AJ McGinty, there's a reason why that man's the captain, and a captain and leaders rise to the top when they're stuck in adverse conditions. He came out, he accepted responsibility for what he didn't do in the first match, and he came out and he led the Eagles proudly on the pitch. And I think you could see that momentum, that aggressiveness from the kickoff. And I think them doing that really, I think from the kickoff, it was the Eagles match, you know, and there was no looking back. Sorry, Derek. On that one,
no, you are correct. I'm not gonna that was a wire to wire, I guess, yeah. The point where Canada was technically leading, but yeah, that was pretty much wire to wire. You can say that, it's fine.
Yeah. No, I think I definitely think you're right. I think AJ McGinty, his second match, definitely better. You know, and just again, I still kind of question Gary Gold putting him in last match with all of the issues he had. You know, me and Rob, I think we're in agreement on that one. Rob, how do you think McGinty did?
I think he did well. I thought his tactical kicking and kicking, you know, when there was some broken play and he saw space and opportunity behind Rugby Canada's backs, he kicked it right in that space and really made them play the ball under pressure. We made use of the 50-22 rule. Canada, I think, actually scored some points off of it themselves and early on in the match, but we made use of it twice. And I think there was a 5-meter five-meter kick, so taking advantage of some of the new rule applications, actually were turned over into points in some cases. But I think his ability just to control the game, both with his ball in hand and with his feet, was solid. One of the things I thought Team Canada could have done is bring in Kyle Bailey and Eric Howard in at about the same time and benefit from perhaps their communication skills, having played together at the NOLA Gold, to get that line out right, perhaps to develop some rhythm, get that line out right. Might have been a good tactical substitution. But, you know, it's hard under the kind of pressure that was created with the turnover of points for the United States.
I mean, I think now, you know, the other question is probably, I'm going to ask this another follow-up question to Rob. You know, Fagan Schultz out, who are we going to see step up?
Well, you know, it's interesting that I'd like to see, of course, because, you know, my heart is made of gold at the moment. I'd like to see Andrew Guerra get a start. You know, perhaps in, you know, with Hanko at the six and him at the seven. But, you know, I got to tell you, there's something that excites me about Ben Benasso. I'd really like to see him get a bit of time. And look, you know, is there an opportunity to play some of those younger guys in the next game? I mean, the United States has demonstrated that they, and I won't give away too much, but they've demonstrated they can put up some points against some of the South American counterparts. So we might see some new blood in there and give some of the old guard a little bit of a rest.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm hoping Ben Benasso gets his start, but, you know, I got to be honest, they've been going with Andrew Guerra. I don't know if he had a better camp. I haven't heard anything, any injury concerns with Ben Benasso, although I have been, you know, asking some questions and haven't gotten any answers back. So to me, it's just, I'm wondering, maybe he's a little nicked up. I don't really know. Derek, what does Canada need to do against Chile? Obviously, besides beat them, what is the biggest change they can make going into that match?
Yeah, going into that, I think Chile's a good team. They've, you know, obviously, I think the last time they played, Canada won like 56-0 or something to that effect, right, at the ARC. But I think, like, you know, they got the SLAR to come in. They had the Chilean team in that was a playoff team. Like, they've gotten a lot better in just the past 2 years. Things that Canada does really well, I think, are the things like Rob mentioned. They're like, especially with guys like Rumble, they're unreal at the breakdown. Like, even in this game, like, I don't think the States were better at the breakdown in this game over the whole course of the entire game. Like, they definitely had moments and stuff, but like Rumble, and even like Bailey and Rumble were able to get through the lineout mall a couple times too, as you know, you mentioned, right? So I think they're really good at doing that. They proved that they're pretty good at doing that even against like England. Like, they held their own in a lot of cases. So I think they definitely have to do that well. The I think the one thing, if you talk to like Canadian rugby fans, the lineout needs to get fixed. It was really good against the United States in St. John's, but then it just seemed like it kind of reverted back to its old ways a little bit this week. Like you said, I think the game against St. John's kind of also showed it's like Canada does play better. Like if they use a bit of a more expansive attack, like they can like open up opportunities and stuff. There was a play, and I think it's like the like around the 70th minute, just before Higgins had replaced Brody at this point in time. And it was kind of a weird play. There was like a botched line out, but Canada maintained possession of it. And they ran a couple phases and then worked the ball through the hands of the back line. And if it wasn't for a forward pass from Howard to Lloyd, it was a try. Yeah. Like it took them like three phases to open up the U.S. defense on the outside. And, you know, they were able to do that in the game against St. John's, but they never got an opportunity or never tried it in this one. So I think going into Chile, it's like I would just like to see like the confidence to hold on to the ball a little bit more and not just immediately let's play for some territory and let's get that box kick. But if you are going to do that box kick too, like what it was in St. John's, the kick chase has to be on point, yeah. Right? Because any box kick is only as good as that kick chase. It was there in St. John's. It wasn't there in Colorado. And that kind of also helped why like they couldn't really get an attack going.
And I'd like to add, I'd like to see Rugby Canada, they do good things in transition and try to put a little bit more emphasis on transition rugby, because I think they're dangerous in transition. That play you mentioned was a great example of it. And one of the other things I'd like to see them do is, and they showed it in St. John's, was set up that 1-3-3-1 structure where they have a line of forwards and a line of backs. And when they keep the ball in hand, they really can maintain possession and frustrate the opposition. I think if they do that, they can have a lot of success.
I was going to say, I agree. Cause that's what they did in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's exactly what they did. And like, you look the last 5 minutes, it was like Jones had a nice, like crash ball run. Rumble had a good run. They get the ball to Vicky Lonnie, who I know he's young and, you know, still plenty to develop there, but I think
he's dynamic.
He is. He's a really good ball carrier. And like, if he gets a chance to offload, he's really good at that too. I think that was the biggest thing, like from this game. It just looked like there's like a lack of confidence with the ball in hand, but it's like, they've shown even in small moments in this game, like this, like if they keep it, like they can do some damage with it. They just gotta like have the, I guess, I don't know. Maybe it's just like have the confidence to do it.
Well, that's the thing. It seemed like you're right about the hesitancy, and I don't know if that was just, you know, the moment and not the pressure, but knowing that you had the aggregate 13-point lead.
Yeah.
And you take your foot off the gas, and that's something that USA does too sometimes in the lulls, where I feel like, you know, you've been pushing pace, whether it's, you know, crushing runs with the forwards or dynamic action with the backs. And then you go with a box kick that just kind of kills your momentum. And yeah, you gain the territory, but you lost, you're losing possession. So I can see it's very similar in both teams when you have that. So Alex, I think we're looking forward to Uruguay now. What do you think USA needs to do to win that match?
What I think that USA needs to do is to celebrate this victory to start off with, right? So, like, that's positive. As Derek mentioned, you know, Canada had the opportunity to just kind of keep that foot on USA's throat and just crush them. And they let up. And now they're kind of in the corner punching themselves out. The USA's got momentum, right? That W's a big thing that answers a lot of the naysayers that really thought, you know, here we go again. You know, I'm a Chicagoan, born and raised before I joined the service. And right, like, yeah, it's the lovable losers, right? Like, oh, there's the Eagles. They'll always go to the World Cup, but are they a top tier? And you know, to me, yes, they are, right? Like, you've got to believe. If you don't start with that belief, so I think that's number two. The first thing is, They celebrate this victory because, like, it's important for that team cohesion as we build up to 2023. The second one is to maintain that momentum. Looking back will only give you a sore neck. And so I think, you know, you lose Jameson Fanana-Schultz. You guys mentioned, like, some great opportunities. Do you give – who do you give the start to? I think those are both great choices. But I think it's hammering on some of the stuff that Rob already hit and everybody else kind of went around the horn, is like that discipline, those little micro things are what's going to be the difference between taking it to Uruguay and just, you know, focusing on the run up to 2023, or are they going to be, you know, are they going to be looking for a, was it October 9th, you know, just like they were against this match on September 11th versus Canada, going like, all right, boys, here we go again. Gary Gold, right, will be back online, kind of having to repeat the same thing that the fans, you know, because, you know, we can be fair weather at times, whether deservedly or not. And, you know, we'll be calling for people's heads and, you know, and, you know, grabbing all kinds of overseas jerseys. But I mean, I think if they celebrate this win, focus on that momentum, and then prioritize how they can correct those disciplinary mistakes, I think that's what puts the USA over the top to beat Uruguay.
And I'd like to jump in. Here's what I'd like to see the U.S. do in their attack. I mean, Bryce Campbell can really suck in defenders, right? So I'd like to see them work Bryce Campbell a bit more and work on bringing in Christian Dyer, Marcel Brocky, Ryan James when he's fit, at angles either inside or outside of him, right? And make the ball available. Work on Bryce getting that ball out and getting it available in contact, because he's drawing defenders in. But what are we doing to create that, you know, hard strike at the soft edges of the defensive back line?
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think we have to, if we can get that going, you know, we don't always have to work on or rely on our pack to even score offensively. And that brings up my last question to Derek. It seems as though maybe if you have your European contingent, your pack is a little better. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah. I mean, it's better, but I mean, if they're not in the game, you got to figure out how to win games without them. Right. So there's no sense in, worrying about the guys that aren't there. You got to find a way to win with the guys that are there.
Well, so then my next question is, you think those guys are going to be there for this particular, or you think they're going to get released?
Oh man. I hope they come. I hope they come. Like Tyler Ardron, like Evan Olmstead, even like, you know, Priscilla, like mm-hmm. the guys, there's a lot of guys that weren't like, even like, hopefully they are able to come. Hopefully some guys like Hassler can come back from injury and stuff too. Mm-hmm. Paris was hurt. Josh Larson wasn't able to play. Doug Frazier wasn't able to play. Well, I'm mixing some Old Glory stuff for Alex there. So he wasn't able to play either. Right. So it's like, if you know what I mean? Like you look at that and it's like, yeah, like this, maybe it's not the best Canada roster that you could possibly have, but it's the best one that's available to you. So at the end of the day, you can't worry about the guys that aren't on the team. You got to figure out, mm-hmm. you got to find a way to win with the guys that are there. Right. So it would be nice if they did come though. That's for sure.
Nope.
I like that attitude. The Jet is coming out with the no use crying over bagged milk. And I like that. It's good to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, before we get on, because I'm going to ask all these guys what they think the outcomes of the games are going to be and you know, who's going to be America's 1 and 2. But before we do that, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors.
I'd like to take a moment to thank one of our very important partners, Tighthead Brewing Company. It's Chicago's premier location to watch rugby and enjoy quality ales and lagers for all seasons. And one of the things I'd like to celebrate is, as of the recording today, Brewster and the Tighthead Brewing has reached a milestone. Yes, it is 10 years in the business of making quality ales and lagers for all seasons. Tighthead Brewing Company is located in Mundelein, Illinois, in the heart of Lake County. Owner Brewster and the Tighthead staff will ensure you're kept well hydrated so you don't miss a single scrum. Tighthead's tap room is like the familiar rugby clubhouse in which friends and teammates can meet, socialize, and enjoy the wide variety of brews on tap. And don't forget to go to Tighthead if you're in Chicago to catch some amazing rugby. We're going to continue to have some internationals. We're going to have Women's World Cup coming up. We're going to have Rugby Sevens happening with both the Premier Sevens and the HSBC Sevens. And then October, of course, we have some more qualifiers. We have the United States playing Ireland, the United States playing New Zealand. I mean, Chicago, this is a great time to enjoy some great rugby and great beer. So, hey, Chicago, when you want rugby, Tight Head Brewing Company will satisfy your thirst. Tight Head, it's worth more than a try.
And we're back, folks. So the next thing I'm going to ask these guys to round out this topic is, I want to know, what are your predictions for USA versus Uruguay, Rugby Canada versus Chile, and who's going to be your America's one and two, how it's going to shake out? So, Rob, let's hear it.
Okay, so USA versus Uruguay. The last two results, 42-13 in favor of the United States and 26-7 in favor of the United States. So there's no doubt I think the United States will beat Uruguay. I'm looking for a score of 39-12. And with Rugby Canada, the last outing was a resounding victory, 56-0. I think Derek talked about that. I think if Canada can get some things right, they can get a close score to that. I think I'm looking at a 43-10.
Okay.
Rugby Canada.
I like it. So now down to the Maple Leaf handicapper, Derek Brissett.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go with a bit of less of prediction and just put some positive energy into the air here and go. I mean, in all reality, we all want rugby to grow in North America. And the best way for that to happen is obviously Canada and the United States both participating in the Rugby World Cup. So I'm going to go with, I don't want to see them have to play each other to be like potentially be eliminating one another from the World Cup. So I'm going to say USA is going to beat Uruguay and then Canada is going to beat Uruguay. So feel bad for Uruguay, but they can bang it out in the repechage tournament. Hopefully they got a good squad there too.
Yeah. Listen, I think that's my sentiment. Exactly. I want to see USA and Canada in that America's one and two spot. You know, again, that helps North American rugby. That I think that's what's going to happen, but who knows? Alex, let's hear it.
Yep. 100%. Couldn't agree more. And I think Derek hit the biggest thing that I have in my notes, which is this fusion, this thing that this MLR, as it grows and snowballs and gets bigger, how can you not have that positivity and that positive mental attitude? The USA's got momentum. Canada knows what they messed up, and I think they're gonna put a throttle in coming up, and 1-2, that's it. USA Canada. It's not hockey. It's rugby. So like we got you for a little bit, but 1-2, that's it. USA. Canada.
I love it. I think you're right. I think Canada's going to be fired up. I'm hoping that they run the table against Chile and Uruguay. I'm still pissed off about the golden goal in hockey in the World Championships. Women's Canada beat USA in a golden goal reminiscent of, what was it, 2016? Losing in the Olympics.
Canada's women's team has won a lot, though, most of the Olympics. So going
no, back. No, no. I meant reminiscent of men's, where I think it was Sidney Crosby hit the golden goal in the gold medal game.
Yeah, 2010. Yeah.
2010. Wow, man, I got to go back even farther than that. Shoot, I'm old. Anyway,
that was in Vancouver with like, yeah. It's still like the absolute most watched event in Canadian history as far as like and everything. Yeah.
Oh man, I love it. I love it, guys. Like I said, I think Canada's going to come out fired up, and they're going to show the intensity that they need to get in there and win it. And you know, I think I know who won this match. But before I make the selection, let's talk about another one of our friends over at Rugby Coffee. Let's be honest. I was telling you guys about Can I Brands before and how, you know, sometimes have trouble sleeping on the night we record. Every morning I wake up to a freshly brewed cup of crowd favorite from Rugby Coffee. It's delicious. It's my favorite. I know Rob's a Jouer Jouer guy. He likes the French roast. It has the little, you know, rooster on it, which is funny because, you know, he hates the rooster and yet he's drinking the coffee. It's weird. I deep down, he's a Rooney fan in my opinion, but you know, he likes his coffee. I like my coffee. And that's a good thing about Rugby Coffee. They got coffee for everybody. One of the even better things is, man, they ship and package that stuff quick. I think I told the story a couple episodes ago. You know, we do get a little bit of coffee as a sponsor. I ran out and I bought some and purchased my own with my own money because it's that good. And I feel strongly about this product. It's great coffee. And the best part about it is they help celebrate youth rugby in Canada and in the United States. 10% of their earnings go to youth programs in both, like I said, in Canada and the United States. And you know what? It's great to see a company that's one, putting out good product, and two, helping grow the game one kid at a time. And as you guys know, the Rugby Rant likes to grow the game one fan at a time. So go to rugbycoffee.com right now. Help us keep the lights on by ordering some delicious coffee. I got to be honest. I'm telling you, I wasn't a coffee guy until I started talking to these guys from Rugby Coffee. And Tennis was like, no, no, no. you got to really, you just try it. And he gave, you know, he told me how to do the whole setup and everything. And since then I've been on the Rugby Coffee train. So please go check out rugbycoffee.com. And love talking about Rugby Coffee, but you know, I think it's time to crown a winner. It's tough, man. It's tough. Rob and Alex had great points. You know, it's easy to talk about a team when they're winning. It's definitely hard to talk great about a team when they're down. So I think Derek, you're winning this Rugby Rant episode. Congratulations. You know, he really drove the point home of being optimistic and not being the guy that maybe Alex was talking about, you know, who's just kind of talking shit online and being a Debbie Downer about their team. You know, he's optimistic about what's coming forward. He's optimistic about the way they lost and he knows what they did wrong. No, seriously, to come out and be like, it's individual effort. Listen, it is, and they'll get better. That's it. Each guy will be better.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say it's effort. Effort makes it sound like we're like, oh, they
no, incorrect. Effort, correct. Correct. Yeah, you're right. Let me amend that. Individual mistakes. The effort was there. The mistakes were made. The effort was there. The mistakes were made. Let me amend that. But you know, I think this is the first Canadian win in a long time. Rob, what do you think?
Absolutely. And Canada's been really needing a victory here, not just on the pitch. But also on the Rugby Rant, because as we know, our good friend Doug Wilkie.
You know, at least now wait,
hold on. He got a ticket listening to the Rugby Rant one time. So, you know, at some point we got it. You know, we got to celebrate the victories for our Canadian friends when we can.
I was going to say, at least now I can only say it's only been like a week and a half since the last time Canada beat the United States.
No, listen, Rugby Coffee likes to donate. Yeah, Rugby Coffee likes to donate to charitably to youth organizations. The big guy likes to donate charitably to Rugby Canada fans, giving Derek Brissett to win.
We need it.
And for our fans out there, you know, you can catch us on TRN every Friday morning, or you could check out our expanded episodes on Facebook the night before if you want a sneak peek to see who won. Follow us on all social media platforms at Rugby Rant Pod. You know, I have fun doing it. I have fun interacting with the fans. If you guys want to be a ranter, contact us. We're always looking for new ranters. No offense to Derek, who's been on the show a couple times, but we always like to hear new experiences guys like Alex. Alex is brand new. He's doing great on this episode. I loved it. So guys, please, you know, take a look, send a message, hang out with us on social media, hang out with us on Facebook. We love, you know, pushing this community of rugby fans, North American rugby fans, MLR, you know, check me out. I'm going to be at the PR sevens. So if you guys are going to be in Memphis, take a look for me, you know, we'll hang out, we'll have some beers, we'll take some pictures. It'll be fun.
I'm sure they can't miss you.
Just another fat joke that he has to talk about props. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous that a man who sniffs butts at lock, who sniffs prop butt at lock his entire life. But maybe the fumes have just gotten to him and he's just off his rocker a little bit. But anyway, I love busting the chops of my buddy, the Hammer. Anyway, I'm Scott Farrar, the big guy. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. For Derek Brissett and Alex Carlson and our buddy Ty Braga, who couldn't be here, thank you so much for watching and we'll see you at the next. And welcome back, Rugby Rant fans. We're in our second our second topic here. It's a fun one. I got to be honest. I stole this topic directly from Premier Rugby Sevens. I mentioned it before. I'm going to be there in Memphis on October 9th. You know, I can't wait to see you guys. It's going to be fun. Again, let me get a picture with Nia Tapper. Help me out on social media, people. Contact Nia Tapper and tell her the big guy has to take a picture. She has to take a picture with the big guy. You guys can help me do this. So get on that. That's my personal plea to you guys. But PR7's put this topic out there, and I thought this would be a great topic for our ranters here. So PR7's asked fans to come up with a way as a tiebreaker in overtime in the knockout stages of the tournament. And there was a ton of great answers on their Facebook post. Please check out that Facebook post and take a look at it. I mean, back and forth. Really good, you know, point counterpoint, which is something we're going to do here. But yeah, so the topic is, what should the PR7s do as a tie break in overtime for those knockout stages? Alex, your 2 minutes starts now.
Whew. Okay, starting off, as kind of mentioned just offline, I'm a Marine, and all this rugby stuff is getting old fast with me. I think good old-fashioned hand-to-hand combat wins the day. So I would like to see each side get kitted up in with some helmets and some pugil sticks, battle out center pitch, and then I guess if that doesn't work out, old whitey tidy me. I think you just kind of play it out, you know. When I was trying to think of, like, do you move them around here? Do you do some positioning to make it more interesting in overtime? But it reminded me of that scene from Something About Mary where he's talking about 7-minute abs, right? And you can change it around here and change around there, right? And when Ben Stiller, you know, is going, hey, you know, somebody could just do 6-minute abs. And the other character was adamant about 7 minutes abs. It's sevens. Let's just play it out. We've got enough different variants and this, that, and the other thing. I did see that chat. I loved it. I loved the back and forth of the internet because, right, you can just kind of get your jab in and retreat. But, you know, if everything was on the table, I think you let them duke it out just to kind of bring the UFC meets rugby into it. Otherwise, I'm kind of happy with the current structure and just letting it play out. And I'm excited to see what you know, what this is all going to be and how it's going to fit in perfectly. And man, there's some big names in it. So like, if you're a Sevens fan, it's going to be a tough month, especially with club rugby going on and college rugby going on. So that's about all I've got.
I love the idea. Unfortunately, I think that would be
the episode over. Alex won.
I think there'd be an insurance issue for that.
Damn it.
That's yeah, strong, I think there'd yeah. be, I think there'd be an insurance issue for that. That would be my only thing. Is can they get the insurance to do those?
Hey,
do those pugil sticks?
If you can fight in hockey, we can fight in rugby. It's fine.
That's right. It's just a restart, and you drop the jersey and you go for it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's it. Just make sure you're connecting on those punches. Jesus Christ. So let's get
I got nothing, man. You could just I don't know how you beat hand to hand combat.
Sorry. Derek, your 2 minutes starts now, buddy.
I saw that post. I responded at one point. They should play Mario Kart on the Jumbotron. Nowhere near.
That'd be awesome.
Nowhere near as cool as hand-to-hand combat. Probably less dangerous, though. So, I mean, that was mine. I think I do actually agree with Alex's second point. I think, you know, the best overtime format that rugby has right now is just, you know, you can just do golden point. Whoever kind of scores first wins. I think that's fine. As Alex said, just let it play out. But I think kind of by Premier Sevens putting out that post, I think they're looking for maybe something a little bit different. So I'm going to kind of, I think if you could, I like the idea of letting them play it out, but I'm also going to borrow from the CFL / maybe college football kind of overtime and just be like, put the ball on the 22. And then you get each team, you get one possession. Right. We'll say the possession can't end on a penalty, but like if you lose the ball, it's a turnover. That's the end of your possession. And I would just say, like, yeah, flip a coin. You could, the winner of the coin toss gets to pick if they want to be offense first or defense first. If you score, the other team gets the chance to match. You know, if you don't score and the team B who goes second scores, then game's over. I think it's one of those things where it's like you kind of, as Alex says, you keep that ability to actually play it out. But by just starting the game in a prime scoring position, put the ball in the middle of the 22, you can either do a quick tap, maybe do a scrum, depending on how you kind of want. Scrum probably ends a lot faster just because there'd be more time or there's more space. But that's kind of where I would go with it.
I like that idea. And I think it's you have to amend it and say no kicks, you know, no drop goals. It has to be scoring, has to be try. So I think if you do that, because you know, right now, technically college, you can kick the field goal and they can match it, I think, the first two or three times.
So yeah, if it's CFL, they have to do like a touch. It has to be a touchdown.
Yeah.
So it's a
little bit. Yeah. I think, yeah, college football, I forgot if it's just the first set or the second set, you can kick. And then after that, it has to be touchdowns. But I mean, I like that idea. It's different. And I think that's what the PR Sevens is trying to do, is they're trying to make it exciting. They know that this is going to be their one tournament for the year. So they get to test out whether Mario Kart on the Jumbotron is actually fun and going to work. I love that idea too. I think that would be a very interesting, who has the skills, you know? I mean, throwing bananas all over the place would be awesome. Hammer, what do you got for me?
So it sounds like we're coming up one kind of fake one, funny one, and one serious one. So I'll go with my funny one first, and tip of the cap to our boy Chris Shade, the slip and slide champion. I'm saying they wet the field down and they
oh,
run.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And you know, the one that has the longest slide to actually put the ball in the try zone and dot it Ooh. Down, that's declared the winner, a slip and slide championship. So, Chris Shade, if you're in Ohio, make the trip to Memphis and make it happen, brother. You can be the honorary sir of the day. But in all seriousness, you know, 3 to 5 minute periods is typical, right, for overtime. Doesn't matter the time, whether they want to do 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, depending on what the goals of the tournament director are. But here's what I'm suggesting. In all seriousness, the first overtime, you reduce down to six members on each side. Right. Open up the field a little bit. Not of the cap here to hockey. I know I'm going to make the big guy cry a little bit and tears of joy. And then just go from there. The second OT, you're going down to five men, five women, you know, and then you go down to maybe four. And then maybe you do drop kicks if it's still tied. Right. You do drop kicks, but it's with the guys that you left off that start, you know, the drop kick. So you might have to be a little bit tactical who you're going to bring off the pitch, because the first guy that you put off is going to come on and kick those drop goals.
I like that. I like the drop goal idea. Maybe we start with that first. If you didn't play, you have to go in and start doing, you know, so that person, the other team picks the person for the drop goals. So let's say for whatever reason, Carl Niles didn't play and he's sitting there on the bench, or he came off in the first half and he didn't play in the second half. You know, if I was the other team, maybe I'd pick Carl Niles to try and do the drop goals. I like that. I think it's dynamic because you have that, like you said, you know, 3-on-3 in the NHL, bringing a member down for every period if it's still tied. I'm going to go with a lot of things that I feel are ridiculous, but I think can work. So the first thing I'm going to say is run a Bronco. The other team gets to pick a person. The other team picks their person and vice versa, and they run a Bronco fastest times win. You know it's going to take 5 minutes. So right there, it's going to be a five-minute golden goal period anyway, so it's relatively quick. Who can eat and an entire rack of ribs faster? Again, you pick your opposing player. I was saying drop goals, but almost a la, you know, World 10s, there's certain spots you have to kick them from, you know, so it's not just directly in front of the 22. It's, you know, 10 directly in front of the 10, then either right or left the 22. And as it goes back, it goes farther out a la World 10s. Yep. And then the 50 is straight on.
Will a team bring on Ruben DeHaas just for that purpose?
Yeah, exactly. This is. You want to have this fight again, Rob? Because we will have this friggin' fight.
I was gonna say, yeah. I don't like where that point's going either. Like, it's. I don't like Ruben DeHaas drop goals anymore. do you have to talk about? We're you done soon. Talking about that game, you Rob. Soon. I thought we moved on.
Well, that was a knock on two levels. That was a knock on.
The Jets getting salty.
Yeah, that's a knock on Canadian fans watching Ruben DeHaas knock over that drop goal. And that's a knock on me, because me and Rob got into a knockdown drag-out fight about how you could just keep Ben Sema on the bench and bring him out as a kicker, and that's perfectly acceptable in World 10s, so Rob can suck it. Another one I had, besides the Bronco, besides the kicks, besides eating the ribs, was a rugby version of horse. So, you know, you can play pig. Some kids play pig, so it's only three letters, right, instead of five letters in horse. And you have to do a trick shot kick that has to go through the sticks, and the other player has to match it, and you play a game of pig that way. I think that would be way more fun. I think that would really amp up what people are doing. Also, I think it would give us a lot of good social media moments to rep this tournament the way they want to rep it, and have that party atmosphere to see some of these guys, you know, kicking from behind the post and it's bending around and, you know, flicking and all the shit that me and the rest of the front row can't do, you know, with the ball and going, well, let's see if you, you know, anything you could do, I could do better. I think that would be a great way to do it. The slip and slide thing again seems like a liability. And I honestly just, the golden goal period is boring, guys. I mean, I know, you know, Rob's an old fart and he's been playing rugby since Jesus was a rookie, but like, you know, this is the time to test the new stuff. I think another thing you could do, I was trying to figure out how this would work. I haven't gotten it down yet, but maybe in the coming weeks I can get it down and hit up Mike Tolkien now that he's friends with us. Was just a tug of war. Just come out there and do a tug of war. And, you know, either maybe best out of two, best out of three, or just best out of three, rock, paper, scissors. Get it done quick. Bam, 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 bam.
Worst ideas you've ever had.
What are you talking about? It's way more fun than 5-minute golden goal period. I mean, it's the same old BS we see in every sevens tournament.
You know what? Actually, this is those ideas resemble fun. More like the high school at my high school for homecoming. They have this big contest between the between the freshmen and the juniors and sophomores and the seniors. It's called, you know, the games. And this sounds a lot like that, you know, that it's the high school, points games for, you know, crowning a high school homecoming champion.
Here's another one. Here's another one we could do. It's another relay race type thing. I don't know if you guys have ever done Indian runs, but we used to have to do them as punishment. So you start running, right? And you're running around the field, and the guy at the back has to run past the line all the way around the field around the field and make it to the back. I think we could do that. You do your best three players and see who could do it the fastest.
No one's going to want to do that.
I like a dizzy Izzy. Have you ever done a dizzy Izzy?
I have no idea what that is.
So you run down the baseball bat. So
yes.
You do the dizzy Izzy and then the drop.
Oh, that's awesome. Alex, he just won again. That was great.
Alex has brought the dizzy bat and hand-to-hand combat.
I would like to thank all my senior Marines from the first 4 years I was in the Marine Corps that did not haze me by doing things like that. So, yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. That's I love that.
We need to consult Marines for how to spread these things. That's what
needs. Maybe that's not a liability. Not at all.
So how about
insurance risk right there.
Yeah. The slip and slide. Let's amend our buddy Chris Shade's slip and slide idea. You got to run the really wet slip and slide first and then try and drop kick. Now you're all like super wet. The ball's wet. Rip the ball on the slip and slide, get up and go for a drop goal from whatever side of the 22 you're on. And let's see if you can nail it. And it has to be immediate. You can't stop and set up. You have to make it like a fluid thing.
You could change it. Do that, but then do a crossbar challenge.
Oh, that would be a good one. Or just a straight up crossbar challenge might be a little quicker. Yeah. But if you add the slip and slide, man, I think that'll be fun. I love all these ideas.
You could do the slip and slide, and then like how far you slide is where you get the kick from.
A good one, dude. So many ideas.
If you need guys to figure this out, like, you know where to find it,
right? This will never happen. But you get to pick a friggin' fan to come out for a drop goal. You're out of the stands, you just pick one.
That has a very 1920s hockey backup goalie vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Walking off the street, getting a fine from the NHL because you showed up in jeans because you didn't have a suit on you. It happens a lot for those of you that don't watch hockey. They'll have they'll be down to guys where they're calling some guy at his house to come play hockey, and he shows up to the arena and he's not properly attired and immediately gets like a $5,000 fine because he wasn't in a suit. Anyway, I digress. Those are all great options, and now I have to decide who won this entire rant. Well, I honestly, the first rant was really tight. And, you know, at that time, I think Derek was leading. I got to be honest. At the end of the first rant, Derek was leading. He gave a great, he had great answers. He came up with exactly what Rugby Canada needed to do to change their fortune here coming up in the next qualifying matches. Again, very positive with what he was talking about. He wasn't a negative Nancy. It was great to hear. And then Alex came in with hand-to-hand combat, and it's like, you know, let's see what happens. You know, oh God. And then dizzy bat challenge, dizzy bat drop goal challenge. I mean, Alex, you're the winner of today's friggin' rugby rant, man.
No, this isn't even close. It's all him.
I mean, you could tell Mike Perazzini to suck it because Mike took like four chances before he won. You beat Mike.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
And as you guys know, we like to give our new guests 2 minutes. So Alex, here's 2 minutes to give somebody a shout out and.
Well, so I'd like to give a shout out most importantly to everybody that's on the banner behind me. The Old Breed Rugby, they're not all on there. It's a smaller banner that I could kind of get in the picture. But Old Breed Rugby is a service-founded organization founded by Marines, and we've grown over the years. And I captain that side, more of a cat herder position, to be honest. But, you know, with September 11th and the past 20 years have been tough on everybody throughout the world, not just in the United States, our Canadian brothers, all our other allies. And so this was a big, big weekend. So my shout out to is everybody who this weekend took some time to just be a better person to each other, whether it was on the pitch and off the pitch. I'm really grateful for my rugby brothers at the Old Breed. And we're playing a match this coming weekend in Denville, New Jersey. That's the Paul McDevitt Cup. Paul sadly passed away on Independence Day. And so all the proceeds from what we raised that weekend, we're going to donate to funds for his kids, for college fund. And that's what I'm most grateful for. I'm also grateful for you guys for allowing me this opportunity to rant with you. Beginner's luck, let's call it. not when I talk to Perazzini, of course. When I talk to Perazzini, I'd like to give a shout out to Mike, because obviously if he just called me more, like I could have got him on the podium sooner. So but that's it. And then obviously I am doing youth rugby here in Virginia. We're between DC and Richmond, Battlefield Rugby. So if you know anybody that's moving to Virginia, have them contact us. And then the last shout out, other side here, I guess. I'm proud to represent Old Glory. I love the team. I love the fans. And that's about it. So I appreciate it.
Love it, man. And also check out Tunnels to Towers Foundation, which is something Mike Tolkien talked about, which is a 9/11 organization helping out first responders who we lost in 9/11. Tunnels to Tower Foundation.org. Alex, thank you so much. Congratulations on your win. Derek, you can suck it. Just like to point that out there.
He came. He brought hand-to-hand combat to the table. Like, what am I going to – I'm not going to fight him about this. Like,
that just seems you can goon it up and give him the old Brashear stick to the head, you know? I mean, wanted to.
I would still be too afraid to do that. No, that's not
good. Oh, I love it. Fans, check us out on social media. You can check us out on the rant episodes are on TRN every Friday. Or you can check a sneak peek of both – topics on Thursday on our Facebook. We go live at 9 p.m. Also, every Monday is our RPK interviews. This past weekend, we had NOLA draftee Carm Consolino. We have a couple more draftees coming up. We're going to have some people from the PR7s. We're going to have some USAR Rugby Canada guys coming up in the near future. So please, again, Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Check out our Facebook for RPKs. Thank you so much for watching, guys. I'm Scott the Big Guy Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. For our two guests today, Alex and Derek, and for our buddy Ty, who couldn't be here with us tonight. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you at the next.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.